Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
95.7, the game.
Hey, Goo. Why does everybody care so much about the MVP? Feels like that's all anybody's talking about right now as the Warriors get back to 500. I hate to be abrupt, but I know Dibs is there too. I just wanted to specify who I wanted to hear from first. But why is the MVP taking on a life of its own right now, you think?
For some strange reason, I don't know. I just think Dub Nation feels like Steph Curry is not going to get his notoriety, his just due. And I just want to tell them, and you and Dibs, relax, take a deep breath. It's about the team. This team is hot, and they're hot because the Steph is in an all-time zone. Steiny and Dibs, he is the best player going in the association right now. So don't give me MVP like that supersedes the team's success. Utah, Phoenix, they don't want to see this Warrior team. And I know I lost the 44 wins, but what I wanted was this team to get hot going into the off-skies, and it looks like we are staring that right dead in the face. It's team success over MVP, and I'm blown away that the MVP's getting more run.
Dibs, what do you think the answer to that question is?
Which question, the 17 that Guru responded with or the one that you initially opined with?
The first one on why the MVP seems like it's become more important than it should be. Or is that even something you agree with?
It is something I agree with because it's the fact and it's the virtual rat on the table for a team that's 500.
Gosh.
When you see something that is so historically magical, the best way to put it into context is to anoint it. And the best anointing that you can give an individual in any of our professional sports is most valuable player. So the fact that he's doing what he's doing, you can appreciate it like a work of art, and it's not tangible. It's incomprehensible in many ways. Yet when you put something like the MVP upon it, and when you have a road crowd chanting for him to be the MVP, and I know it's hackneyed and it happens a lot in different settings, but to get that treatment on the road over this 11-game stretch, having that award be the ultimate reward at the end of this unbelievable stretch, that makes people be able to contextualize it better.
Yeah, Dibs, sorry for saying, oh my gosh, when you put the rat on the table, but that reminded me, and we can get into this later in the show, remind me to tell you about a rat on the fridge.
Oh, no, Steiny. Damn.
Oh,
and
boy.
If you think for 1 minute I'm not going to start actively pursuing some kind of exterminator sponsorship, some kind of exterminator relationship with the show and myself, you're mistaken.
I don't want to get too far down that road, Steiny, because I do, you know, up in 2 hours, rat story. But it, to me, it's a closed-door meeting with the cat. To where you start to seriously. I mean, we criticize Draymond when he misses, you know, shots at the rim. This is literally a rat on the table on your home court. So,
Isn't a black cat, Steiny? Do you have a black cat? I don't think you got a black cat.
Little black and white, little black and white, but certainly an entitled
Goo.
An entitled little feline. I know that.
Cliff. the aforementioned Cliff, who you hear from time to time, yes, is in fact the black cat Goo, and he's a double-double machine with birds and mice.
We may have to pull the old switcheroo dibs. It just what is
you
that?
You have to
like
throw in draft picks.
That's true. Like they have that show Wife Swap. We're going to switch cats and see how each of them fit into our respective places. Because
what channel is that on? I hadn't seen that one, Stoddy.
Oh, I have no idea.
Wife Swap.
I think there's a show called that, though, right, Dibs?
Yeah, but not Pet Swap. Doesn't have the same oomph.
No. I'm watching Curry, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm not thinking about him as an MVP candidate, but I'm thinking about his career prior to this year, what he's done this year, exceeding expectations, certainly my expectations, carrying the Warriors to a 500 record, and now there seems to be a low. He's got to be in the MVP race. And the history of the NBA, guys don't win the MVP if their teams are, 500 or slightly above 500. So, that's just working against him. He's probably not going to win the MVP. But to me, what he's doing this year, it's as important as an MVP, or it's almost a more tangible. I get it. We won't be able to say Steph Curry won his third MVP this year. But anybody who discusses what this guy's done down the line, whether at the end of the year or 10 years from now, I think we're going to put this year onto his resume, and it's not going to be as high as the titles, but it's going to stand alone and say, you're going to look at it like an interviewer and saying, boy, you had in 2021, what a year you had. And it's going to be something that I think we look back at and realize was tremendous, but he might finish seventh in the MVP race. So what, Goo?
Yeah, and I don't need, just me personally, guys, I don't need Steph to get the MVP to validate how great of a season he's having. And right now he's in one of the zones that few athletes ever reach. And if you want to sit here and call the shows, and I've heard it, I won't name any names, and you're saying that the MVP, the way that it's constructed and they vote Dibs, you need to change it because of Steph Curry, you need to look yourself in the mirror. What he's doing is transcendent, and he's the only one doing it his way. And, our show is like a TV show. We have episodes, guys, in the archives, and we had episodes of saying, hey, if they don't make the playoffs, this Warrior team, the Jackals, the Barbershops, they're out there. They're coming down Steph's road. And this is what he gives us. And I don't need an MVP to validate, Dibs, what Steph Curry and how great of a zone he's in. And I mean that.
It's because you're seeing true art on display. And you're seeing not only someone do something that we thought unfathomable even 5 years ago, but the consistency that he's showing, but the casual nature with which he is dominating, I think, is also something where you look at it and it's almost like looking at a Picasso painting. You could look at it 12 different times and see something unique and different each time, because the way he sets his feet, moves his body, quick release, the dribble, the magical dribble, he lulls defenders. The best defenders in our league know what's coming. And it's either going to happen in 4 dribbles, 7 dribbles, 13 dribbles. You're not going to take the ball from him, and you're stuck like with a snake charmer. And you know how it ends. He either steps back left, steps back right, or the one I was watching, because somebody tweeted out before last night, he had like 45 made threes in the last 5 games, and they strung them all together. And so you start to just watch him. And my new favorite is the one where he catches it and just the baby pump fake. And it doesn't even matter how far the defender goes up or forward. It's the one baby crab dribble to the right or left. Whap, whap, whap.
Uh-oh.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah. I guess here's the other thing I was thinking. And this isn't – you can say this is old man, but don't say it's old man yelling at Cloud, because I'm not really yelling at Cloud. I'm just noticing maybe a difference. We all have our guys. My guy was Bird. But I never remember in the middle of a season talking so much. Did you think, I wonder if Bird's going to win the MVP. How's Magic doing out in the West? Well, Dominique Wilkins is playing on a team that's just 10 games over. And, you know, like, I don't remember worrying about that back in the day. Now, when the award came out and he either got it or you didn't, you know, then you argue over it. But it feels like Curry is superseding the Warriors in a way. And you can have both. You can have both. You know, I gave him a little grief, but like our guy Danny Freisinger tweeted out, you know, the Warriors are 28 and whatever the record is. If they go 10-4, they're going to win 40 games. If they win 40 games, he's got to be the guy. And I'm thinking, if the Warriors win 40 games, you know, the story's the Warriors won 40 games and they're, you know, they're going to the play-in game probably with a damn good record and a shot at it. Not really sure exactly what I'm trying to say here, except that the Warriors won a nice game last night against Philly, and it's all about Curry getting his due when anybody who's worth his salt has already given Curry his due.
And Curry's not asking for it, Dibs. That's the beautiful thing about this. And that's why you could say, oh, good, what do you mean upset? I'm disappointed that is the theme. The theme that this team, to me now, is they know they have an identity defensively. There are no growing pains. And I look at the unproven Suns in the offs, and Utah had a good stretch in the bubble last year. But if Curry's going to keep this up, and this is the team, the Warriors, we see. They beat Denver. Murray played the whole game. They went toe-to-toe with Boston. They were missing Brown. I get it. They beat Embiid. I'm excited about their chances in the offs. I just hate that the individual success is superseding that from fans.
The individual success, well, it's not – to me, it's not about like or hate. It's about the reality of the situation, which if this Warriors season is an old-school record, Steiny, A-side, B-side, right. It's an album. And you get 10 songs if you're lucky, but we'll just say 10 songs for the sake of an argument. Steph Curry is a smash hit, 8 weeks at number one, the reason why this album's being bought. Now, the other 9 tracks – the rest of the A-side, it's okay. Wiggins, a nice smooth jam. Draymond, a hardcore rock and roll song. You get to the B-side, and it's, you know, the Bazemore Blues, and it's Wanamaker, Where Are You? And the B-side's almost unlistenable. So the reason why you have the record is because the record hit, the smash number one single, is one of the biggest songs in history. So that's, to me, the way I look at this. Yes, the album is great, and it's a top seller, and but really, it's they're 29 and 29, guys. And when he doesn't play, they don't win. So it's Steph Curry and the Warriors. It's, you know, it's like the old school 60s bands with the lead singer and then the
Yeah. I just want to bat it around for a while because it's interesting to me, and I want to hear different sides to it. 888-957-9570. Why is Steph Curry getting MVP consideration or winning the MVP such a big deal? And the thing I was wondering, because I'm willing to discuss it. You know, Curry was the first unanimous MVP in the history of the NBA. I mean, could you make a case he could become one of the first MVP on a team that's 500 or a little over 500? 888-957-9570 is the number, and we're trying to figure out some things about Steph Curry, where his legacy is, where it's going, and how good the Warriors can be if he's playing at this level. 888-957-9570 is the number, and it's all sponsored by the California Highway Patrol Designated Driver Program.
Now, back to Steiny, Guru, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Damian Lee with it. Oh, yeah. Wiggins open off a back screen. Missed him. Ball goes into Looney. Now back to Curry. Checks the clock. 7 to shoot. Working on George Hill at the logo. Drifts right. Comes back left. Step back three for a step, and it's money! Cold, hard cash! Warriors lead by 9 again with 1:08 to go.
That's Tim Roy on the call. The Golden State Warriors beat the Sixers last night, 107-96. Just another night from Steph, 49 points. Struggled in the fourth quarter with just 20. I think he was 5 for 6 from the field, so he wasn't quite perfect, but taking my tongue out of my cheek, he was absolutely incredible last night and has been doing it for 11 or 12 games now. And the question is how good can he make this Warrior team? And how excited are you about this Warriors team? Are you watching the Warriors more to just see Steph Curry play? And Gu, you'd kind of said something before the show that I was thinking, well, this is the big thing to talk about is you're starting to talk like you, not that you hadn't earlier, but you're seeing some things here that lead you to believe this team can make some noise in the postseason. That's a lot different to me than, they'll make the play-in game maybe, and if they even get to the playoffs, they're going to get beat by Utah or somebody in 4 or 5 games. But, you're telling me you think they can make some noise. That's interesting to me.
Yeah, and the great Meek Mill said it. There's levels to this. And I never once thought that Steph Curry could reach this level of play. So I know he's not doing it by himself, but technically he is. But something that's not getting a lot of run is in Bazemore in the starting lineup. And when I heard Coach Kerr sound like Ben Obi-Wan Kenobi, he said, you know why he's going to stay in there? Is he makes quicker decisions. I know he's not a perfect player, but I'm watching him now, Dibs, and Bazemore with the ball, because we used to say Oubre don't fit or he's out there just fiddling around. Bazemore, bap-bap, bap-bap, and it's fluid. And right now I'm watching a team that could give – I'm excited. They can give anybody a problem. That's where I'm at. You could say I'm drunk off of Steph Curry juice. I think we all are. But I really believe the Warriors are going to be a hard out. They double-teamed Embiid last night, undersized. Draymond and Looney, and got him off his spots when it counted most. They're going to be a problem.
Yeah, maybe I'm getting that secondhand Steph vibe, here on April 20th, Goo, because it feels like everyone in the room, and how can you not be, because
man.
49 points. And, to your point about Bazemore, I think in spurts, especially as a bench player, he's very helpful. Last night, 0-5 from the floor, 2 points, 2 boards, no assists, no steals, no blocks, no fouls for Bazemore.
Oh.
Tip of the cap.
Wow.
Tip of the cap.
Yeah.
Not putting the cap, but a tip of the cap. But ultimately, Oubre Jr. back in the starting lineup, I think, makes you a better team. But Bazemore off the bench, certainly a solid contributor. But you mentioned it. It's not only Steph getting it done, but when you put up 49, and guys, tonight, Mega Millions, huge jackpot. I was going to play the Steph scoring line going backwards, but you run out of games because you need that mega number, which I believe is 1 through 21. So you have to actually go back 12 games, Steiny, to find an eligible Steph scoring game with which to play those lottery numbers tonight.
I'm not sure I follow, Dibs.
If you look at his game log, he had 49 last night. So you go backward, 49, 47, 33, 42, 53.
Ooh.
There's your 5 lottery numbers there. Or you can go back from there if you want with 38, 32, 41, 37, and 36. But your mega number has to fall between 1 and 21, and you have to go back to March the 17th. Old St. Patty's Day, when he struggled with 18 points and a 14-point win over Houston.
Oh, man. I was going to say.
That was the tailbone game.
That's the tailbone game. That's right.
Because he would go on to miss the next 5, which were a win over Memphis and then loss.
It's interesting because I was going to say, man, you're going to have a couple numbers less than 25 to win that thing. And you're going to be like 40, 42, 40. That's like, but not all the numbers are going to be in the 40s, right? But, hey.
When's it going to end? That's the crazy thing, When's it going to end? When does the faucet get turned off?
That's a great question.
It is a great question because what defines the faucet going off? If he scores, now this stat's out there, if he scores 29 next game, well, they'll say, okay, streak's over. Streak's over? What are you talking about? He had 29. I get it.
29 is not good enough.
30.
You got to have 30. You got to have 30. I mean, 29 is 29 is a pat on the head in a nice game, 29 for Steph, that's a quarter, people. I mean, come on, Steph, 29. Now, if they win by 46 and he only plays, 24 minutes, of course, it's always excusable, quote-unquote. Yeah. But to me, Goo, 30's that number where, you know, he's streaking with the 30, 11 straight games of 30. That's something, even in this high-scoring NBA.
I call that a whole week.
Stoddy, I got to give you this. I went to bed last night, and before I laid my head on the pillow, I thought about 15 days ago. We were talking about what if it went the other way. You know, what would this do to, you know, his reputation or whatnot? And what do the Warriors do? Do they call the dogs off? And this guy's averaging 40 points in the month of April. It ain't April 8th. It's April 20th. This is crazy. Rick Barry, that's all I'm doing. This is crazy.
Yeah. This is crazy.
As far as the MVP goes, and I'd gone back to like 1980. When Moses Malone won the MVP and they were 46-36. But back in 1975-76, so that's 85, 95, 05, 50, 45 years ago, Kareem was the MVP on a team that was 40-42. It was, I believe, his first year in Los Angeles, if not his first, his second. So it's happened. Now, it hasn't happened for 45-plus years. And here's where I love Dibs, because he'll go back and now look at that year and find out if there were some mitigating circumstances like he did with Malone, which was interesting because nobody had a big, big year record-wise that year, the year Malone won. I think Dibs said the team with the most wins that year was only 54, so maybe that had something to do with it. So there is, you know, it's happened, but it just lately MVPs in the NBA go to players on teams that have big-time winning records. Let's go to Nick. Nick's in Ohio. What's going on, Nick? How you doing, man?
Hey, fellas. How's it going?
Going good.
I have a few points I'd like to make real succinctly. One is I feel that they put too much emphasis on the team's record. I know the hum, you know, has support sure. And all that, but it just seems like Curry is... be is the most valuable player of basketball game itself. I mean, I don't know how to say that
he's like the league MVP is what you're saying.
A league MVP, you know, the game. And then can you imagine the season, how pedestrian it would be without him in it this year?
Yeah, it'd be pretty sad.
He just does so many little things, passing the ball and getting it back in position to score, going up with a layup with three defenders. And then finally, Barry Bonds. How many MVPs did he receive? And how many World Series did he appear in? Thank you.
All right. I don't know off the top of my head. Anybody, how many Bonds win? But I want to get...
Four.
The thing I'm going to take away there is the idea of too much emphasis. Seven MVPs for Bonds? Oh my! Thanks, Dibs. That's a lot. Is the
it's a whole week?
Point...
Three more than there, what
that's
I
where
had.
You play it, Spadoni, because seven is actually a whole week, Spadoni. God, I missed the button.
It's a big difference, bro.
That's not bad either.
Too much emphasis on a team's record. You know, that's one that's been out there for a while. I'll throw this out. How do you? And I know we don't have an official vote, but how do you determine who the MVP is, Dibs, in your mind?
It's the player who does the most at an elite level for a team that has success. And now, if you look at an individual player, like Allen Iverson was a great case for so many years because he was unbelievable. He didn't have much help, and they weren't very good until 2001 when they lost the NBA Finals, a game I was watching as Quest came into this world, by the way, had it on the TV on mute in the, it was her call. Her call. She wanted the game on. So we put the game on, Goo. But I digest, as we like
Hello?
To say. To me, you look at the best players who are having the best years, and if there's a guy on it who's having a clearly unbelievable historical year, I could see going that direction. Russell Westbrook. Steph's having a great year. He's having an historic 11-game run, 11 of 72. And again, if they wind up with 42 wins or whatever is possible and he averages 35 for the year because he averaged 45 or 50 the rest of the way, well, the conversation changes. But to me, I look at a player whose great play led to his team having success ahead of a player who had a great year whose team didn't have as much success.
I like that.
I got to jump in here because I've got a visual now of Dib's son, Quest, coming out of the womb, crowning, if you will, at the moment Allen Iverson is stepping over Tyronn Lue. And what a push-pull of emotions that must have been.
Gaga, goo, goo.
There's just, like, excitement all over the place in that room. It's like, anyway, so.
There was a certain amount of, the Sixers, their season was dying at the same time my son's life was beginning. So it was, the dichotomy was dramatic.
Go ahead, Gary.
That's me, Stoney. No, I was just going to say I'm with everybody else. I hate the way that it's set up now. It's weak the way it's set up now. But that's the way it is. And people are whining because it's their guy. It's our guy. Steph seems to be getting the back end of it to where it's not helping him. What it should be to me, the metric is, if I take Steiny or Dibs off their team, what happens to that team? And that's why Steph is this year's MVP when you look at it from that prism, because he is, for the first time, is doing this without Klay. The whole KD thing to where he took a back seat at 33 years old, I didn't know he had this type of gasoline left in the tank. So that's why he's the MVP, and that's why I hate it. Real quick, Steiny, when KD and Steph were together, how many times did we do shows, oh, they can't win it because they cancel each other out? Okay, that's the way it's set up, but I hate the way it goes now. Give me the best player. If you take him off that team, what happens to that team? That's your 2021 Golden State Warriors.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, I'll raise my hand. I'm guilty of being a big record guy, because the way I kind of do it in my own mind is I'm looking at the standings right now. Who's got the best record? Okay, it's the Utah Jazz. Okay, so to me, they get first crack at having an MVP. So you look at their year. Donovan Mitchell, you know what? Mitchell's been really good, but Gobert's been really good. Nothing's really jumping out at me there. Let's go to the next best team, the Phoenix Suns. I'll tell you what, in a crazy kind of way, I think Chris Paul's not getting enough consideration, but obviously Devin Booker's a big, I'm not ready to give it to Booker yet. Let's go to the next team, the LA Clippers. They're 40-19. Well, guys have been in and out there. You know, like, until something jumps out, and it kind of does, and even though we have it fresh in our mind, Embiid was not very good last night. You know, the Sixers were 39-17. Now we're getting to maybe Embiid could be it for me. All right, but that's kind of the way I go ahead and do it, and I'll admit that, you know, some people don't like that I'm putting too much emphasis on that particular part of it.
And it's interesting as it pertains to the notion of right and wrong, because I'll go back to that year you mentioned, 1976. Get it ready, Spadoni, because I know you like to clown us who are north of 50 with your cute little buttonry.
But I love the young people.
Spadoni, wait until I deliver the material, then hit the drop. It's 1976. The Lakers went 40-42. They were fourth, not in the conference. They were fourth in the division. The Golden State Warriors actually won the division coming off of their championship year. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar averaged 27.7 points, 16.9 rebounds, 5 assists, and 4 blocks in our league. Bob McAdoo was the only one to score more points. Point being, Kareem had a year like Steph's going to have. Maybe leading scorer, certainly leading three-point shooter, arguably the, quote, best player in our league, yet he'll be lucky to finish in the top five. So to your point, Steiny, the parameters, the rules, the judgment base has obviously changed. Rick Barry finished 10th in the league in scoring that year, 21 a game. The Warriors won, you know, Phil Smith averaged 20 a game. The Warriors won 53 games, I think, in the regular year. So next time we ask Rick Barry, we'll have to ask him about the change in the way the MVP is voted upon.
You know, care less.
That's actually interesting. No, you could.
Actually, 59 wins for the Warriors. I apologize, Raymond.
And Redding. Kareem was an anomaly. The league is basically telling you he slipped through the cracks, and we're not going to do that again. And right now, I can tell you, and I mean it with every fiber of my body, Steph Curry is the best basketball player in the league right now to Daryl Johnson. But you know who's going to get the MVP? Is Jokic. And for him to answer what Steph did last night was it spoke volumes to, dude, all you got to do is go basically 500 the rest of the way to Nuggets. You're going to get it because the narrative has been you guys have been steady Freddy. The Warrior team was almost to your tank. And I was going to get Shamari yesterday when he called. I couldn't get to him because I've been listening to him and Kyle. He was like, do you pull the plug? Do you rest Steph? You know, it was that bad. Right. It was Memphis bleak. So I was about to get to him, but he got off with him. But I'm just saying that he ain't the only one. And now look where we're at.
Yeah, Guru, your boy would have sat out last night if you were Bob Myers.
True. I'm not.
Well, you know what?
Everybody looking at me.
But you know what?
Let's
be honest. Why would you? There were two reasons why you'd sit Steph Curry last night. One is to give him rest, and two is, let's be honest, you didn't think they were going to win that game against Philly, and then it got more winnable when Ben Simmons and Tobias Harris didn't play. But yeah, that doesn't
take
anything
simplify it even more than that. Steph, how you doing? Steph, you good? All right, you're playing. I mean, that's. Especially right now when he's on this unbelievable heater. It's like going up to a pitcher in the dugout who got squeezed by the leadoff batter and issued a walk, but he's retired 22 in a row. You don't sidle over to him and say, hey, how you feeling? You want to get a – no, I got a no-hitter, you jerk. Get out of my face. And that's
exactly. –
I mean, you don't talk to Steph in the dugout right now, certainly as hot as he is. Just one point circling back to that Kareem year, Steiny, because I looked at the advanced metrics that they've run, obviously, after the fact. Kareem led the league with 17 win shares. He was 6 win shares greater than Bob McAdoo. Well, if you look at the league this year, Steph Curry is 5th in the league in win shares, actually tied with Zion and Dame Lillard. Jokic, Gobert, Kawhi, and Giannis are your top 4 in the association, according to Basketball Reference. So that's just some comparative statistical valuation of the Kareem year for a team around 500 versus the Steph year.
Right. Yeah. No, that's
good stuff, man.
That is interesting. And I win share, I think, is kind of a complicated stat, if I'm not mistaken. But, I mean, I get the point of it is to say how many – it's a metric – to try to determine how many wins one player is responsible
Correct.
For. And there yeah. go, but there's a ton of stuff that goes into that,
it sounds
figuring
like
out
it.
That number.
Right. Man. It's offensive and defensive rating per
right.
36 as it pertains, as it relates to your teammates and the actual results. And so, you know, you look at Kareem 17.0 that year for a terrible Laker team. That gives you an assessment of his value. Right now, Nikola Jokic is at a 12.8, which
wow.
is 3.6 goo wins ahead of Rudy Gobert in second. So I think as Denver continues to win without Murray, and it won't be every night, and coming up in 10 minutes last night in our league, we'll look at those Nuggets, the Nuggy Nugs on this April 20th. But I think because Jokic has been so important to their success, I think the conversation is becoming a non-starter.
Yeah. That's beautiful. Let me give this to you, Stoney, real quick, man, because it's in my heart. So 2010, nobody saw the Giants coming out of left field and winning it all. We believe nobody saw that happening, especially as the season was coming to a close. Where I'm going is just put the MVP Dub Nation to the side. Everybody knows, and they're watching the same social media sports center what Steph's doing. But I got the game on now. Let's just say, guys, give it to me, Rick James. If they get to the Western Conference Finals, the Warriors, wouldn't that be bigger for Steph in the grand scheme of things than the MVP? The fact that he took this gang to the – almost didn't
yes.
make it. To
yes.
the. I mean, that's why I'm celebrating
yes.
it the bit of – that ain't off the table, Dibs, because Wiseman, I'm not blaming him. They don't have to readjust with his what I don't know because I'm a rook. They know what they're doing and who they are now. I just feel like it's an identity thing that they've tapped into.
They might have. I mean, they might very well have, Goo. And
yeah, and if your identity is Steph goes for 40 a night, okay, that's a nice identity to quote – tap into. But we've seen over the course of these 11 games, Goo, they're not 11-0, and Steph's averaging 40. So he may have to give you 45 or 50 in a game against Utah or Phoenix, and that still might not be enough.
But to answer your question, Goo, yes. If the Warriors got to the Western Conference Finals and it's going like it's going now with Curry, absolutely, to me, that's more impressive than if, you know, had he won the MVP. Kane's in Oakland wants to talk some hoops and Curry. What's up, Kane?
Hey, what's up, fellas? How y'all doing, man?
Good.
Good. Hey, man, as far as the MVP thing, I feel you, Steiny, as far as what he got to deal with the team and everything. But, man, 90% of the time, the boy is the best player on the floor, man. He just been killing all year. And I think we've been wanting his MVP because, you know, everybody been – you know, we've been spoiled with these chips, so we want to see something for Curry after all this craziness we've been going through these past few years. But like when I say, man, when the pot's in the kitchen, you got to let the chef cook, baby. The boy throwing up 40 like Earl Stevens, a.k.a. E-40. Tell me when to go, and he going. Green light up. We might get to the awesome with Goo. I'm hoping it. But Dub Nation, let's go, man. We watching something special.
Thanks, Kane. Appreciate it.
Rack that guy.
Rack him. Yeah.
Rack Kane. He gets racked for that. That was too good.
That was pretty good. No, and the way I do it with the records, I think is the way a lot of the voters do it. Now, I'm open to, you know, listening to it doesn't mean if you don't do it that way, you're wrong. It's just kind of the way I do it. And until we get down to a team that where a guy sticks out, you know, I'll keep going down that list. All right,
and
on the other side.
I think, yeah, oh, I'm sorry, Stein. No, you're right. We're up against it. That's my bad. I'm so excited.
Okay, on the other side, Warriors got some good news last night in the standings, and we'll tell you how when we take a look at last night in our league, plus Gary St. Jean, 11 o'clock. It's always a good time to chat to talk to Gary St. Jean.
But
last night in our league. Last night in our league coming up, Warriors got some good news. We'll tell you about it on the other side on 95.7 The Game.
You're listening to Steiny, Guru, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
All right, Gary St. Jean coming up in 10 minutes, and then Bob Fitzgerald. Bob Fitzgerald coming up at 11:45 as always.
Shot that from Union City.
11:48. What do you have last night? Oh, Steph shot it from the Liberty Bell. Shot it from the Liberty Bell last night. Dan Rather is tweeting about Steph Curry. That's all you need to know. Dan Rather. He says, Steph Curry, there's nothing more to say. When Dan Rather is tweeting about you. The Dan Rather, guys.
Well, if you're making him speechless, I think is even a greater part. A guy who made his bones by actually speaking, and he cannot find the words to describe what he's seeing. Dan Rather, I mean, that's, oh, boy. Boy.
Let me just throw this at you. First of all, we got, I see calls. We're going to get to them for sure. Like, let me throw this at you. And forget, Steph's having a great year. But I guarantee you, some of the voters in New York, they're going to vote, like, they'll vote Julius Randle as more of an MVP candidate than Steph Curry. Now, you might be like, well, that's crazy. Well, I mean, Julius Randle's averaging 24 a game. He's averaging 11 rebounds a game and 6 assists. Before, Julius Randle's better than Steph Curry. But the Knicks, right now, they're 4 games over. They stunk for a while. You take away Julius Randle, that team is every bit as bad, maybe, as the Warriors. And I'm just shedding some light on why people will have other candidates to vote for other than Steph Curry. You know what I mean, Goo? I mean, you know, the guy's putting up career numbers on a team that's finally winning. You got it, Goo? Nah, we lost Goo for a sec. My bad. Well, it's not my bad. I didn't lose him. I just wanted to throw that in there, Dibs, because, you know, you could make a case for Julius Randle if you really wanted.
I suppose. I mean, you can make a case for whomever you want. I mean, if you're looking as a conscientious NBA voter to vote for the MVP, top of your ballot, because I think you get three, if not five, names you can put down there. I think maybe it's five, where, and I'll have to double check that, but for the sake of this argument on who your MVP is, you really can't make a case for Julius Randle. If you are, then you're one of those people who voted for David Segee for baseball's Hall of Fame. You look at the Cooperstown voting each and every year, and there's always a guy who gets one of the 10. Well, fine, you get 10 votes. If you're going to waste one on somebody who's clearly not a Hall of Famer because you covered him for 12 years and he gave you some good interviews, well, that's a different argument. But for MVP, honestly, there are maybe four or five that you could justify giving your vote to, in my opinion. And I would take Kawhi Leonard as one of the names out of consideration because the guy doesn't play. He's the most valuable watcher, maybe the MVW. And when he does play, he's always one of the best players on the floor, if not the best. But you got to play to be a most valuable player. So for me, it comes down to Embiid, Jokic, Giannis, and if you want to throw Steph in there because of the extraordinary things that he's doing, you could throw him in there. But outside of that, honestly, I don't think you can, quote, make a case. You could try, but it's like the Democratic National Convention last year where you were going 12 wide. It's like, okay, Mayor Pete and your various Klobuchars and my guy, Cory Booker. You know, Cory Booker, he was like eighth or ninth. Hey, he was ninth in the Indiana primary. What. Hang in there, CB. I'll
tell you that's what, this, I could...
That's just, what this MVP race is to me. It was Bernie and Biden. It's, you know, it's Jokic and it's, you know what I mean? So right now the dais is crowded and the dais is full. But ultimately, at the end of the day, it's going to come down to two or three.
Yeah. Let's do last night.
Apologies to Mayor Pete and Klobuchar for disparaging them in this analogy.
That's all right.
And my man CB. There's a transition. Dibs, off of politics. Play the songs, but only play the damn song. Guys, last night in our league, four games with Western Conference consequences. And we start with a headline. Spurs fight the Knicks and win.
Ogden's a smart player, but that time showing you just how physical he can get.
DeRozan kicks it out. Derek White. Swish for three.
109-94 in a game marred by a little bit of a scuffle goo. Good old-fashioned hands being thrown in Indiana.
Yeah, I'll say this. I thought the Spurs were dead, Steiny. They get a big win. I don't know what's going on with the Pacers, but again, if San Antonio is somehow the Warriors' foe, I like the Dubs' chances.
I never thought the Pacers were for real. They're okay. They're not. There's nothing exceptional. Everybody likes their players, but they don't have a superstar.
Is Sabonis a star? I was just gonna ask you real
good.
Quick.
Good player.
Yeah, he's good.
Nice player.
Spurs and Warriors, by the way, both 500 clubs. The Spurs a game better in the loss column, so they still have the potential to leapfrog the Warriors without Golden State playing. Game number two, the Suns baffle the Bucks.
Paul brings it beyond the arc with eight to shoot. Now starts to drive, gets to the free throw line, fakes the jumper, now goes up with it and rattles it home. CP3 with a big time shot.
CP3 in the conversation. That from KTAR in Phoenix, 128-127 in overtime. Phoenix a game and a half back of Utah.
Yeah. Wow, just to – oh, go ahead.
Well, yeah, you know, I'll just say this. If you go by the eye test, that to me – like Chris Paul is somebody that's got to be in the conversation for the MVP, not just because they got a great record, but because of who they were before he got there. Like, I'm not saying he should win it. I'm not saying he should be ahead of Steph. But, like, that's a guy that I think is very responsible – for his team's success.
No doubt about it, but at the end of the day, he doesn't have Gotti numbers. That's a part of it,
right or wrong.
That's what he's missing, the Gotti numbers. But I'll say this about Phoenix. I like him, but the guy that I was in love with is the problem I see in the playoffs, and that's Ayton. Steiny, I don't know if he'll be ready. I think he could be a liability come playoff time, and I hate that I'm saying that.
Yeah. We'll see. Chris Paul, by the way, 10th in our league in win shares, as previously indicated, Steiny. So Chris Paul's metrics aren't as sparse as you may otherwise think. Game number three, the headline, Nuggets nudge the Grizzlies.
Barton to Jokic, three. Yes! Got it again! Denver's back in the lead by three. Timeout, Memphis!
Double overtime. What a game from Altitude Sports Radio in Denver. 139-137, Goo, and Jokic having his MVP moment.
I watched every minute of that game. At looking through your guys' tweets, I was like, can they take a playoff so I can watch the game? But anyway, if he wins MVP, and I think he will, Steiny, I think they'll look back on that game. How dare I doubted the Joker years back. Dude is special, man.
And in a sorry kind of way, he's going to benefit from Jamal Murray getting hurt.
That is,
because if he can, even if the Nuggets limp in at 7-7 from this point on, that's going to benefit Jokic. So he now has a little push with the narrative, Dibs.
Yeah, and the Nuggets 6.5 games clear of Dallas, so they're very safe currently at the 4 seed. Memphis, by the way, just a game ahead of the Warriors and a game ahead of the Spurs, as the Pelicans are looking like they're going to fade from relevance here. Game number four, the headline, the Jazz lasso the Lakers.
Joe, step back three straight away, hit! To his right, stepping back and burying it. Joe Ingles is something else right now, and he's got 4 threes.
KZNS Salt Lake City apologized to Spadown as the Lakers with a little bit of a spit up here. And Goo, LA only 2 games ahead of Portland, sitting in the 5 seed.
Yeah, what kind of cigarettes was that my guy had? He sounded like he was smoking a cigarette on the call. But, yeah, Utah, I just want to see how long Mitchell's out. They only say a week. Those uniforms they had on last night, the best thing going. But they revenge Kevin Costner on the Lakers for that Sunday loss they took to the Lakers.
And it just leads me back in the day when Celtics announcer Johnny Most used to smoke cigarettes. While he was announcing, rebound Parrish, he's wearing Malone. Go ahead.
That's it, Steiny.
Wow.
That was last night in our league?
That's the best thing going.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I like that.
I like the way they're mixing up the TV calls, the radio calls, home calls, and road calls, because you don't know what you're going to get. Next level, we'll get these announcers' names, the ones we don't recognize, and start to shout out some of these. Johnny Most Jr.
That's true.
Anyone?
No.
I got ones and twos across the board. Oh, you got a zero. Oh, the Bulgarian judge gave him a zero.
let's squeeze a call in here before Saint. Let's go to Mailman Steve in Napa. What's up, Mailman?
Hey, guys, thanks for taking my call. Steiny, I want to answer your original question. I think you are thinking that the Warriors don't have a chance to make a deep run into the playoffs. So, you know, this is what we got. This is what we got to cheer for, is Steph getting his MVP. And the part that really stands out to me is that he's doing this against every junk defense that every team is throwing at him. Double teams, triple teams, and you name it. Also, I got a rat on the table, and I hate to say it, because I like the kid and I think he's going to be special in our league, is the Warriors are a lot better defensively since Wiseman's been out. Last night, you could see the strategy. They wanted to play against Embiid, bring the double team after he makes the first dribble. And you could see them thinking about it and executing it. And I don't think Wiseman was ready for that. Thanks for taking my call, guys.
Yeah, mailman, right on the money. I mean, just right on the money.